The meeting is being called to order. Welcome to the meeting of the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee. Ms. Hammond, would you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Athus. Trustee Dennis Barsima.
Here.
Vice Chair John Butler.
Here.
Committee Chair Montel Gales.
Here.
Trustee Veronica Herrero. Trustee Bob Pritchard.
Here.
Trustee Jacob Sommer. Board Chair Eric Lazowitz.
Here.
We have a quorum. Mr. Perry, would you please verify that we have a quorum and that the appropriate notice of this meeting has been posted?
Good morning, Mr. Chair. You do have a quorum present. An appropriate notice has been provided pursuant to the Illinois Open Meetings Act.
Colleagues, may I please have a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting?
Make a motion to approve.
Do I have a second? Do I have a second?
Second.
Pritchard? Are there any additions or corrections to the agenda? Hearing none, all in favor of adopting the agenda as specified, please say aye.
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 Thank you. Is there any opposition? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Review. May I have the record acknowledge that Trustee Athus is here? And good morning.
Rita.
May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting of August 26, 2021?
So moved, Lazowitz.
Is there a second?
Second, Barsima.
Thank you, gentlemen. Are there any corrections to the minutes? All in favor of the minutes, please say again, aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Any abstentions? Motion carries. I would like to welcome everyone here today to our November meeting of the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee meeting. As we near the end of the academic semester, I want to thank all of the faculty and staff who have worked so hard to support our students this fall. It has been inspiring to see our students back on campus. It's inspiring to see everybody in the room today, too. Make mention of that. In our classrooms, at the Student Center, and at the library and more, today we have one item for approval, a merger of two academic departments. We have two informational items. The first is an annual report on programs that were reviewed in the prior academic year. Over the past 2 years, NIU administrators have worked collaboratively to increase the efficiency and effectiveness of this process. They have improved access to timely, actionable data. In addition, the review process is now managed within the colleges and reporting has been streamlined. These changes will enable key academic personnel to better focus their attention and effort on the work of highest value to NIU, including that related to increasing student enrollment and promoting student access. The committee's second information item is a presentation about the NIU partnership with EAB and the demonstrated positive impacts of this relationship on our ability to support students from enrollment to graduation. I'm looking forward to hearing from Vice President Jensen and Provost Ingram on this topic. I want to welcome the University Advisory Committee representatives present today. The current UAC representatives are Greg Beyer, Felicia Bohannon, Peter Krominkowski, forgive me, Peter. Krominkowski, at least I'm in the ballpark here. Kathy Jenkel, Holly Nicholson, and Karen Wiebe. Do any of you have a comment to make to the board? Mr. Perry, have any members of the public registered a written request to address the board in accordance with state law and Board of Trustees bylaws?
Mr. Chair, we have no public comment this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Perry. I would like to invite Executive Vice President and Provost Beth Ingram to present the university's recommendations.
Thank you, Trustee Gales. I want to add my own best wishes to all of our students as they near finals and the finish line of the semester. And I can't say thank you enough to all the faculty and staff that have worked so hard to get them to this point. We have one action item today. Item 7.A is a request to merge the Department of Geology and Environmental Geosciences and the Department of Geography and Atmospheric Sciences into the Department of Earth, Atmosphere, and Environment. Faculty and staff of both existing departments have been engaged in discussions for more than 2 years regarding how to combine their strengths, better serve the students of NIU, and to expand and enhance the scope and impact of their research, engagement, and outreach. This request to merge units is the primary outcome of those discussions. The creation of the Department of Earth, Atmosphere, and Environment is the first step in a bold and innovative plan that will expand research collaborations and success, attract new high-quality undergraduate and graduate students to NIU, and support the function and enhance the impact of the Northern Illinois Center for Community Sustainability, commonly known as NICS. This new unit will be adaptable to changing student demographics and demand. The change requires no new funding. All existing degree programs will continue to operate as presently configured. The university recommends that the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee endorse this request and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on December 7th, 2021.
Colleagues, does anyone have any questions regarding this item? Are there any questions? We have a motion to approve item 7A, request to merge the Department of Geology and Environmental Geosciences and the Department of Geography and Atmospheric Sciences into the Department of Earth, Atmosphere, and Environment.
So moved.
And that was?
Wasowitz.
Do I have a second?
Second, Barsema.
Any discussion? All those in favor? Yes, sir.
Now, I would just like to make a comment. Again, this is a great example of doing the right thing. So I applaud the college and I applaud all of the faculty and department chairs involved in making this move. And I encourage us across campus to continually look for ways to make us stronger by doing things like this. So my applause to the college and to all involved.
Very good, very good. Any other statements to be made by Trustee Pritchard?
Do we anticipate there'll be some financial efficiencies that will come from the merger? And is this merger commonplace among universities these days?
So we will reduce the number of chairs by one, so there's a little marginal savings there. But this is really about strengthening programs and enhancing our ability to offer cutting-edge programs. In terms of what is going on at the rest of in the rest of the country, I'd like to call on. Forgot to mention we have Dean Brinkman and Department Chair Mark Frank with us today, and maybe one of them would be able to comment on that.
Yes. Please go to the mic.
I know we're all out of practice, so.
Yeah. Mark Frank, the chair of both Geology, Environmental Geosciences, and Geographic and Atmospheric Sciences, and hopefully this merged unit. The answer is, yeah, the trend over the last 5 to 10 years has been combining these units into one because of the synergy, especially with our paleoclimate section, which is mostly geology, and the meteorology climate section of GAS, which is Geographic and Atmospheric Sciences, which does long-term planning. So yeah, this is pretty normal.
Thank you.
Can I add something to that?
Yes.
One aspect of this merger, which I think is very exciting from a student standpoint, is if you think of our student body, many of whom are the first in their families to go to college, they don't always know when they're in high school or when they come to the campus what geology or geography or environmental geosciences or atmospheric sciences are, but they know what Earth, atmosphere, and environment is, and it's going to sound very attractive. So I think it will get them engaged with a really strong department with strong teaching and research earlier in their careers, and I think that will be very positive.
Thank you for those comments. Yes.
Is this the department that Dr. Melissa Lenchewski is a part of?
So, Mark Frank again. And yes, she is. She's a part of this department. She's actually a joint appointment with this and the Environment Sustainability Department.
I only bring her up because she's the professor that I know and have worked with before. But with all the issues we have from a global standpoint with dealing with climate change and some of the leading experts that I know we have on our faculty, including Melissa, I really encourage you as department chair to continue to put us at the forefront of leading the charge in terms of climate change and how we can play a role in reversing the effects of climate change. Because I know just from working with the different professors and such, it's a stellar group. So I expect big things from us.
Yes, and we are doing that, where we have people looking at past climate change events, how that's going to impact the future. We have atmospheric scientists looking at how extreme weather is going to impact things. And we have other scientists that are looking at the critical materials needed to switch to green energy. So that's all being done, and that will all be within this one unit.
Awesome. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me state for the record, too, that Trustee Herrera is here as well. Things will be recorded. I have a broader question, too. Based on Trustee Pritchard's question about is this common practice, are there other programs that are being looked at to merge as well? Can we anticipate more programs being brought to the board for merger?
I'm not aware of any ongoing discussions at this point.
Any other comments? With that said, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Is there any opposition? Any abstentions? Hearing none, motion carries. At this point, I would like to ask the Executive Vice President and Provost Beth Ingram to present the university reports.
Thank you. And I just want to say congratulations to the departments. I know this took a lot of work. And
very good. Very good. Very good.
So we have two informational items. Item 8.A is a report on program reviews that occurred in the 2020-2021 academic year. Northern Illinois University engages in numerous processes to monitor the quality of its academic degree programs and to inform planning and decision-making about the programs. Processes internal to the university include program review and the assessment of learning outcomes, which are required of all programs by our regional accreditor, the Higher Learning Commission, and by the Illinois Board of Higher Education. As noted earlier by Trustee Gales, NIU has worked to streamline the process of program review and focus on aspects that are most useful in ensuring the quality of our programs. Non-accredited programs are reviewed on an 8-year cycle, while programs with external accreditors are reviewed according to their accrediting cycle. Last year, 10 academic programs were reviewed, and all were found to be in good standing. This report has also been forwarded to the IBAG. Are there any questions about the report?
In what we did here, we're only showing two colleges, the College of Education and College of Liberal Arts, for a reason.
Those were just the two that happened to be last year. Yeah,
okay.
We actually have quite a few reviews going on this year, but yeah, it just happened to be the rotation cycle.
Okay.
Any other questions? Hearing none.
All right.
Please proceed.
Item 8B is a presentation on our partnership with EAB. Vice President Saul Jensen and I will be describing this important partnership. Take it away, Saul.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Saul.
In so many ways, it's another great day to be a Husky.
Why do you say that?
In so many ways.
Did we have a football game last night?
Do we have a soccer team?
Yes, we do.
There's
we
a lot of great things
MAC
going
champions.
On. It's been a while since I've given a formal presentation to you, so I'm happy to have this opportunity today. Over the past few years, we felt it's not only important to provide updates on our efforts, but to also include a presentation with additional details in advance of an upcoming action item. So this presentation is in preparation for the FACFO Item 8C, EAB Undergraduate Recruitment Services. Next slide. So in the just as a reminder, in the current SEM plan, one of our key objectives to increasing freshman enrollment was to implement our partnership with someone who could assist us with strategies for cultivating interest from new students, senior application marketing, and a strategy for reaching new students and families earlier in their high school career. Next slide, please. After a thorough RFP process through the Illinois Procurement Bulletin, EAB was awarded our contract, and we officially began the undergraduate recruitment marketing partnership in October of 2018. EAB is a strategic partner who draws on their extensive experience and benchmarking within higher education. With a background and foundation in higher ed research, EAB identifies emerging challenges and proven solutions that are grounded in evidence, including over 1,000 research calls with institutions annually, and by leveraging the industry's largest data set. Working with over 2,100 colleges and universities, they assist with uncovering transformative insights in data and analytics, undergraduate enrollment, student success, adult graduate enrollment, and strategy and operations. Next slide. What you see on this slide is a suite of the various services that we currently hold with our EAB partnership. As you can see, they range from research and strategy to recruitment to student success. As shown on the last slide, this partnership captures the full student enrollment cycle. I think it's important to also note that these different partnerships are connected and woven together. Research and strategy informs our marketing efforts. Our financial aid optimization impacts both enrollment of new students and retention and completion of current students, and so on. In fact, we hold bi-weekly strategy meetings with EAB, which includes key staff from admissions and marketing along with financial aid and scholarships together. So we have our initiatives that are seamless. We don't have time to cover the full breadth of our partnership today, so I am just focusing on the main function of the undergraduate recruitment marketing service, while the provost will briefly share ideas at the conclusion regarding Navigate and academic performance solutions that provide us added benefits. Next slide. In addition to some of the actual enrollment results, there are other many benefits we've come to realize through our partnership. Because EAB partners with so many other institutions, in many ways, our partnership also includes that vast network. As EAB works with other institutions across the country, they understand what has and has not been successful and provides various case studies and practices, for example, such as A/B testing, to inform our own strategic decision-making. The fact that our services are so comprehensive and coordinated across recruitment, marketing, financial aid, and retention is a huge advantage over working with multiple partners on each of these services separately. Through our relationships, NIU has access to real-time, national and regional trend data that would not otherwise be readily available to us, at least not until well after final enrollment, which provides no opportunity for us to course correct throughout the middle of the year. We have an anonymous peer group of other Midwest public universities that we regularly benchmark in addition to more regional and national data. They are also an extension of NIU. I want to be clear that we are not outsourcing the work. Our own staff is still very involved, as they will attest. In fact, in many ways, this partnership has dramatically increased their own workload. I also feel it's important to address that although EAB does not qualify as a BEP vendor in Illinois, we've been very intentional in our partnership with them that DEI is not only one of our values, but also one of our greatest strengths within the institution. Throughout our partnership, they have fully embraced our values and our goals as their own, which is in good part why we've seen such great success with new student enrollment. Although we benefit from strategies that are successful universally, all of the deliverables are still customized to NIU and our specific audiences. In fact, we have final approval in every aspect, whether that's strategies, core messaging, creative, and so forth. And finally, our partnership is critical to maintaining a competitive edge in a shrinking market. As I'll show later, the demographic challenges accompanied by a large number of students who are still leaving the state mean that we have to be more strategic and efficient in order to achieve our enrollment goals. Next slide. So at a high level, what does this partnership actually look like? First of all, some of you may recall me saying that when I first arrived at NIU, we didn't do much to recruit beyond high school seniors. In most cases, this is way too late to begin a relationship with a prospective student, while contacting students as early as sophomore year exhibits the most efficient enrollment outcomes. Based on our own historical data combined with our goals, EAB has helped us identify which high school sophomores and juniors should be introduced to NIU, and then we implement a communication plan to try and gain their interest to learn more. This is classic marketing, right message at the right time to the right audience. And once we've gained the students' interest, we continue our engagement with them until they are seniors. Next slide. Even with high school seniors, we still search for new students who have not yet demonstrated interest in NIU. Although it's more beneficial to begin a relationship with a sophomore or junior, we understand that not all students are ready for a college search at that time. This is particularly true of first generation and underrepresented students who may not have even considered attending a four-year university prior to their senior year. So it's important we continue to be proactive with them. However, the primary call to action with high school seniors as part of this partnership is to complete the admission application. So we have many campaigns running to deliver timely messaging throughout the year. For our admitted students, we administer a survey called Deposit IQ a few weeks after they receive their financial aid offer. Students will inform us on whether they're planning to enroll or not, and especially for those who are still deciding, it helps us to learn what their most important factors are in making that decision. In addition, Deposit IQ sheds light on why and where students choose to go elsewhere. Yield IQ is a predictive model based on historical data that provides us with each student's likelihood to enroll. Now, both Deposit IQ and Yield IQ are important because they are helping us identify which students to focus the most intense recruitment efforts on with our limited staff resources and how to personalize those conversations. Next slide. This is what our application trends looked like when I came to the board in 2018, asking for the expenditure authority to find a partner with a proven track record who could assist us. Although the number of applications doesn't simply equate to enrollment, this was a strong sign that NIU was losing interest from high school students. And as you know, we were actually seeing a decline in new student enrollment. I had only been here for 1 year at that time, and this was a large request. So I appreciate your trust and faith. Next slide. This slide is showing the obvious reversal positively with EAB as our strategic partner. With that said, I also want to be clear that I'm not pinning all of this success on this partnership alone. As an institution, we have changed many other practices and initiatives that have contributed greatly to our increasing numbers. And take nothing away from our exceptional staff. We really have an incredible, hardworking team, and I've seen both the quality and quantity of our marketing, communications, and recruitment work improve so much in the past few years. Next slide, please. However, I do believe EAB played its part, as shown by the powerful and immediate impact EAB had at our launch. Prior to our partnership with EAB, the steady decline in freshman applications was actually continuing into the fall of 2019 class. We were down about 850 freshman applications at that time. However, once we deployed the senior application campaign in February, which of course is extremely late in the year to expect great results, we saw a considerable spike which remained consistent well into May. Next slide, please. So here's a slightly different take. When we first began with EAB in 2019, you can see the lift with just the senior application marketing. That's shown in blue. By the fall of 2020, the impact was even greater after beginning communications with high school juniors in their first year and then senior application marketing. And by the time we get to fall of 21, you can see the impact of communicating with students building over time. So again, in 2021, we started working with high school sophomores, which was technically in 2019, for the fall of 2021. Does that make sense? And so what you're seeing here in the blue are the number of students who were influenced by our EAB campaigns, directly influenced. They were a part of these campaigns. So you can see it's more than 70% by 2021 were influenced through our EAB campaign. Next slide.
So, yes. I have a question.
Yes.
Slide.
Yes.
So would you say that if we were not using EAB, would we be where the gray is?
No. No, because we still would have been doing our own marketing.
Okay.
But this is really demonstrating the percentage of students that EAB is impacting. So it's almost 3/4. And that is helping us provide that lift over what we would have done on our own.
Okay. Thank you.
So that was applications. On the next slide, it shows a similar thing, but this is based on enrollment of first-year students. What you see is a pretty similar track record here, about the same in terms of the breakdown percentage-wise. There's multiple points of ROI that we track, but ultimately the most important metric that we track is increased enrollment. Next slide. So I mentioned earlier about the benefits of EAB helping us to be competitive in a shrinking market. Here we're looking at the latest high school graduate projections for the state of Illinois over the next 15 years. You can see we remain relatively flat until 2025, when we hit what many in higher education are calling the enrollment cliff. Over the next 10 years, we're projected to have a reduction in about 20,000 high school graduates from Illinois. The 5 years following that are projected to see another reduction of 14,000 graduates. And noting the slowing birth rates impacted by COVID, we likely will continue to see a decrease for 20 or more years. EAB has been a great partner with us in developing our high school student strategy, but with the decline of this traditional age population, it's important that we begin to further diversify and intensify our recruitment efforts with a stronger focus on other populations. Next slide. We began a new engagement with EAB just a few months ago, related to trying to increase our adult learner population. Not only is the traditional high school graduate population declining, there are numerous research articles citing the large number of working adults who have some college credit but no college degree or certificate. One recent report from the National Student Clearinghouse showed close to 2 million individuals in Illinois, 36 million nationwide, who have taken some college but without completing a degree or certificate. As their research suggests, even if 10% of this population are potential completers, that's their term, not mine, meaning they already have over 2 years of academic progress, there is certainly potential for NIU to generate additional enrollment from working adults. Now, our work together at this stage is really focused on the top. It's primarily based on our market research, program analysis, campus readiness, and policy reviews. So that could include assessing NIU's market demand for current degree completion programs, identifying competing programs and comparing program features, comparing tuition, fees, and scholarships, and comparing things such as our credit requirements, credit transferability, course offerings, program length, et cetera. So based on their findings and our readiness to implement their recommendations from this analysis, we may like to engage with them further or another vendor, partner, on a full marketing plan to reach the second two bullets there to generate added interest and enrollment in our degree completion programs. However, I do expect this will take longer time to ramp up, especially compared to the high school recruitment efforts that I just shared. But this prep work now will help us get into the market sooner when we're ready to do so. With that said, next slide, I'm going to invite and turn the time over to Provost Ingram to complete the presentation.
Thank you.
Let me ask first if there are any questions of any of the trustees.
I have a couple, but I'll wait until the end. They might be answered.
All right. So Vice President Jensen and I also wanted to include some information about the other aspects of this partnership, because our partnership with EAB really extends past recruitment and enrollment to student retention and success. Navigate is a software platform that has two main functions, a student support function and an institutional analytics function. Advisors and other support staff have access to a student dashboard that provides critical information about individual students in one convenient location. Advisors can now share notes from advising appointments with each other and with the student's care team, which can extend to the tutoring center, to the career services, to the student assistance center, and more. No more paper files being carried between departments when a student changes major. Students have access to a simple scheduling function to set up appointments with advisors, the writing center, and the career center. And we're constantly expanding access to who can schedule appointments through this platform. The student data also feeds into a set of analytics that provide information to us about the success of our students. For example, we know how and when students switch majors and what those major changes look like. This helps us better support our students. Finally, Navigate is part of the Student Success Collaborative, a nationwide network of institutions that are focused on student success. EAB collates and synthesizes the experiences of member institutions and provides that research to its members through conferences, research briefs, and consultations. Next slide, please. While Navigate is focused on student academic information, Academic Performance Solutions, or APS, is focused on information that is useful to departments, colleges, and my office for academic planning. APS is a software platform that integrates student, financial, and human resource data into a set of analyses that help colleges and departments plan and benchmark their academic offerings. We have used the data to identify low success rate courses for our HLC initiative, to surface program review data in a convenient format, and to assess course bottlenecks that delay student progress. The newest module, just being implemented, will give us a forward-looking predictive capability to help us plan the future course schedule. And as a reminder, this is the last slide in the presentation. This presentation is setting the context for an item that you'll see later today in FACFO. I think that's the end of the slides.
Let me kick off the questions, and I'll go to my colleagues. I wanted to ask more about the EAB, the goal-setting portion of that. You may mention that they share our goals, et cetera. How does that work? And is this a quantitative or a qualitative type of goal that's being set? So, you know, we're coming off this pandemic, and I've read a series of articles that talk about admissions applications being up across the country. Right? How are you so sure that EAB and not some of the other things that you're doing so well are really the reasons that we're seeing that kind of interest in NIU?
That's a great question. I think, I do think a lot of the things that we have done on our own have really supported some of the increase, but that one slide in particular that shows the immediate lift when EAB came on board provided some initial strategy, helped us with the right message to the right students. That has contributed quite a bit in throughout the year. Now, as it relates to goal setting, I mean, our goals are essentially within the SEM plan. So we have goals. We share that with them. So they know what we're looking to achieve. But the goals, again, aren't just about like one total enrollment number. It's the shared commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's the understanding that so many of our students are first generation students. How does that change the way that we communicate with them? And again, those are all important pieces as we communicate and partner together to make sure that all of those factors are taken into account as we work with our student populations that they've identified.
So do you think that upward trajectory that we're seeing is sustainable since we're kind of moving out of a pandemic phase? Hopefully we're moving out of a pandemic.
Hopefully we are. Well, I certainly don't think that the 30% increase of applications from last year to this is sustainable. I do expect at some point it'll flatten a bit, but you know, at least right now we're for the next year's class, we're still seeing some great early results. And I think for us now, it's we've gotten to the point. Again, when I first came to the board 3-4 years ago, the biggest concern for me was this massive decline in the number of students who are applying to the institution. Again, applying does not equate to enrollment, but it's still a pretty significant indicator that fewer students are applying, there's something about interest there. And so the fact that we've been able to increase the number of applications so dramatically, I think, does it does demonstrate that there's a lot more interest in NIU. And again, we can't just take credit for that, because there's so many other factors of great things that are happening at NIU that always contribute to that.
Yes.
But I think so. Those are things that we can't necessarily play out as well. But certainly, this partnership, along with coinciding with our own team efforts and institutional efforts, I think has really just paid benefits.
Thank you. I think President Freeman wants to add.
I just wanted to add something, and Vice President Johnson can confirm that what I'm going to say is true. But, you know, we were concerned as an institution about the equity of requiring standardized tests, particularly for the Award of Merit scholarships, for many years. But we were not comfortable thinking that we had the analytics capability that would allow us to transition from a formula that included test scores to a holistic process in an orderly and financially sustainable way until EAB partnered with us to provide those analytics and that experience. Is that correct?
That absolutely is correct. And so again, today I really just focused on the recruitment marketing side, but what President Freeman's talking about is our partnership with them on the financial aid optimization piece, and being literally one of the only or first universities in the entire country to have a test-free merit scholarship, it was kind of perplexing about how we were going to go about that, because we still have to balance the amount of scholarship dollars that we have available to the number of students that we're projecting, and EAB helped us develop that model. It took actually about 16 different models to get to the one we ended with, but that's the kind of back and forth relationship that we have. We just kept tweaking until we got to the point where we really felt comfortable with where to go forward. And I think in many cases, EAB tells us often that we are a model institution that now other institutions that they work with, other partners, look towards.
I think we got a couple of questions. Trustee Barsima, go to Herrera next, and then Chairman Wazo.
Thank you. The yield curve, or the yield, so I have a couple of questions about yield.
Yeah.
A, how close were we to what they predicted we would be on the number of students that actually attend versus apply? And if I look at the numbers, it seems like in the past, in 2017-18, our yield was 12, 14, 15% based upon the students that applied versus the number that came here. Last year, the yield appears to be around 10% or so. So I would draw a conclusion that the yield has actually come down a little bit. Correct me.
No, that is correct. We saw such a massive increase in the number of students applying. It only makes sense that we're not going to yield as high of a rate. If we yielded at the same rate we normally would, we would have had 4,000 freshmen. That'd be a great problem to have, although housing probably would be upset. But it wasn't expected that we would continue to have that type of yield. Now, I can tell you with our efforts now, that is, we've gotten to a place where, the application numbers are strong, they're healthy. Our focus now is becoming more on the yield. What type of a yield experience, we're really calling it that now, the yield experience that we can provide to our students. What Yield IQ does is it really helps us hone in on which students can we make the most impact on with our limited resources, right? We had, because of the high number of applications, the change of our admission processes, we had almost 16,000 freshman applications last year. We have about a dozen admission counselors. So, to be able to prioritize, okay, well, which of these students do we know are already coming? Which of these students are really most likely not to enroll? And which ones can we really focus our efforts on, communicate with them personally to help them get through? To your first question, though, Trustee Barsima, what Yield IQ, there's some things it does and some things it doesn't do. What it does do is it gives a predictive model score. It gives a likelihood of that student enrolling. What it does not do is provide an aggregate of this is what the incoming class would look like. Now, on the financial aid optimization side, they actually do help with that, because when we work with them, that's basing, okay, well, how many scholarship dollars and what kind of financial aid are we giving out for an expected number of students who would enroll with those scholarships. So that is where we...
So I'm curious, though, what does it look... what's an example of what it would show you, us, that would say, this is the student that we have a higher likelihood of attracting to NIU versus... So to your point, to know where to spend our resources. What sort of things is it showing you that would trigger, this is the student that I think we have a higher likelihood of getting?
Well, what we actually receive is a score. It's a score between 0 and 1. So it's, you know, someone who had like a 0.9 would be very, very likely to enroll. And what EAB can then share with us is, again, based on their years and years of historical and all these other institutions, they can say, okay, well, a student with a score of 0.9 is, you know, 85, 90% going to enroll based on historical. Now, how they get that, it's based on over 150 different variables. So it certainly, definitely, nothing I could go into in specific detail, but we use that much data and detail to come up with those scores. It's based on historical, and they change real time, right?
So you found them to be fairly accurate? I mean, if they say that a student has a 0.9 chance of coming, have we gone back to track to see did that student actually come here?
They do. They actually, every year at the year end, part of our partnership is they actually provide a very, very robust report on how everything went. So we actually do get that report, and they let us know not only, you know, where students fell in the score and did they enroll or not, but the other thing, and it relates more to the deposit IQ, which is the survey, they let us know how many of the students who initially said maybe or probably actually ended up enrolling. So that, again, when we talk about, you know, how do we demonstrate that this has made an impact, we can look and say, well, we had 158 students who initially said, I'm not sure if I'm going to come. I'm just kind of still deciding right now. But at the end of the year, those students actually ended up enrolling. Then we can go back and look at, you know, the types of efforts that we had with those particular students. The data reporting is very robust.
Thank you. Trustee Herrera.
The one really, I'm excited about just how we're using EAB, like the whole suite, and how advanced we are, and ahead of the curve. You know, very excited about that. With the financial aid optimization and the Navigate work supporting recruitment, or sorry, retention, in addition to so the back end of enrollment and the front end. I think though that the question was asked, like how, like will we continue to see growth over time? And I think we probably, I mean, my opinion is with the Common App, we might see an increase in applications, right? It's about the fit, and the fit piece is gonna probably be the wild card on that. But I also think that I think this board needs to brace itself for a very different mix of students in the coming years. I mean, we immediately think of that traditional student, and you know, which has been our bread and butter, and that luckily, you know, with all of your efforts, we've been able to really stabilize with EAB as a partner. But the adult learner piece is going to be incredibly, incredibly important. And we don't always think about the adult learner as the NIU student. And it is becoming that, it has to become that. I am curious to know, what is our timeline for developing a strategy? Because it's a very different strategy, right? From that, the high school students are captive audiences.
Yes.
Transfer students are even captive audiences.
Much
learners
more so. Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Yes.
So that's going to take us a while. So what is sort of our timeline to complete research, market research, you know, and everything that needs to happen before we develop strategies?
Right. Great question. We're in the midst right now of them helping us with the market research. And right now what they're really helping us do is just the degree completion programs that we have. That's really where we're starting, because we can't start with the full breadth of all of our academic programs. We understand that the majority of adult learners are also working adults, and meaning that the majority of them are going to need to complete their degree online. So right now, we have nine online degree completion programs. And so they've been starting to do some of the market analysis on those programs. I know that they're also looking at, you know, what other programs do we currently offer that potentially could be moved into an online degree completion program, noting that there is a market for that. That's really where we're at right now. I think we'll probably still need several more months to do that. And then, you know, really that next step is internally. You know, they're going to provide us recommendations, and then internally, working with very closely with the Provost and Academic Affairs Office, we need to then, you know, determine how do we take some of those recommendations, put them into place to be able to be successful. What we don't want to do is open up floodgates, maybe not be the correct term, but, you know, open up to adult learners if, as an institution, we're not ready to receive them. We want to be very mindful that it is a very different audience. And again, not to say we do have many adult learners on campus right now, but again, if we're gonna really proactively go after this audience, we have some other things internally that we just need to work on first. That's why we are bringing forward the board item in the FACFO meeting, so that when we feel like we're ready, we've taken all the steps, both internally and the research from EAB, then we can move forward immediately.
So maybe if I could add a couple of comments. There's a lot of work underway right now, too, and I would cite specifically Dean Alish Piper was instrumental in the consortial arrangements for the incumbent early childhood workforce. That work is moving forward very successfully, and that's an example of a great program that's going to serve adult learners who need to finish a four-year degree but have some college. Propel is another example from the College of Education. We have a very successful RN to BSN program in the College of Health Sciences. And then I also would like to cite our partnerships with many of our community colleges, where we're going to their site to help students finish their four degree. Harper, Elgin Community College, our programs in Rockford. So we do have a lot of experience in serving pockets of adult learners. And part of this partnership is to think about how do we use and leverage that experience to serve more adults that could really use what NIU offers and serve the workforce in our area.
Right. I just would just underline the importance too of corporate partnerships.
Exactly.
Because especially with large employers,
mm-hmm. right?
Upskilling and making sure.
Exactly. Very good point. Very good point.
Any other questions? I'm going to go to Chairman Wozlitz, and then I'll come back to you. Chair Richard.
Thank you, Trustee Gales. Appreciate it. Saul, great job, by the way. I remember when we first embarked on this, I was on the ASAP committee, and I was like, yes. So great stuff. Who else is using this in Illinois right now?
Oh, put me on the spot on this one. I know there are two or three other public institutions.
Okay.
And I'm sure there are quite a few of the private institutions.
Privates I could see, yeah. But so there's 12 state universities.
Yep.
And so two or three. Wow. Okay. And the A/B testing, what have we learned from that? I mean, I don't know if does everybody know what A/B testing is? You put up one screen and it says one thing, you have another one says another, and then
They haven't shared that specifically with us. That's research that they do with all of their partners. So okay. Again, what I mean A/B testing is they are A/B testing over the hundreds of different institutions, okay. And then they take the results of those tests and they just automatically apply the best practices to institutions like ours.
Okay. All right. Cool. Is the drop in high school seniors for the next 20 years a national trend, or is it just Illinois?
It is national. There are a few pockets. It's only a few states that have some increase in students. But really, when you look at not just Illinois, but the entire Midwest, it looks pretty similar to okay. what we shared with Illinois. But again, there are some pockets out west and in the south that are at least flat, if not maybe a slight increase. But it's a national decline.
Okay. And then I know we talked about this at the foundation the other night, but yeah. We haven't seen a report. We're still the second largest exporter of high school seniors, the state is?
The last that I've seen.
Okay. So it's New Jersey and then us. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Trustee Pritchard?
A couple of questions, if I may. Thank you, Chairman. When we look at and analyzing the dropouts, are we finding real reasons that we could act upon for why someone would drop out before they completed their degree?
You want me to take that one? So we have an active campaign right now to talk to our stopouts. Students leave us for all sorts of reasons, financial, family, personal medical conditions. And we know that a lot of our students were simply exhausted last year with online coursework. We started a campaign this summer specifically to talk to students who had left us, who had stopped out in the last year. We personalized that with the help of folks from Vice President Jensen's shop so that we weren't sending generic emails. We were sending emails to students and contacting them about specific issues that they might be facing and offering specific assistance. And we will continue to do that. We'll continue to expand that part of our efforts. We also would like to think about students who have stopped out elsewhere but live in our area and could benefit from an NIU education. So we're working on streamlining our credit approval processes for transfer students and expanding some support services for those students as well as we go into this adult learner market.
You had a slide that dealt with the Navigate program, and you're talking about building up data on student performance. How is that translated into the counselors and how they work with the students?
So the Navigate gives every advisor a dashboard that is a summary of the student's performance, what majors they've been in, what courses they've struggled in, where they are in their pathway to a degree. And so that translates into better conversations with students about whether they're on track or not, how they can get themselves back on track if they're not. It also gives us the ability, as Vice President Jensen said in another context, to sort of look at students in buckets to say, here's a student who really needs extra help, so they will identify those students for us. Here's a student who we can touch base with, we can have a touch point with, but they're really on track and we just need to, give them that support, but it allows us to not have a one-size-fits-all approach to students. And Navigate is what allows us to integrate that information in a way to identify the students that need specific sorts of support.
Thank you.
Any other questions? One final question then from the chair. wanted to ask about the predictive nature of the tools. So 2 years ago when I came onto the board, we were looking at the Latinx population as being, our university may transition, become more of a Latinx college or university. Is this a tool that helps us understand whether or not we're still on track with that kind of goal? And has the pandemic changed that?
It's a tool that helps us with all of our goals. So again, we can be as specific as we want, right? We can part of what they help us with, as I mentioned before, is identifying the right students as sophomores, juniors, seniors in high school. And, you know, so just hypothetically, if we wanted to just say, we're only going to recruit one certain population, we could do that.
Yes.
We could work with them and they would support us in that. But I would just say, more specific to your question, we do talk about the various goals that we have, again, that are part of the SEM plan, and we build that into the working relationship that we have. They know that we are striving to be an HSI institution. They know that we already serve a large number of students that are underserved, underrepresented. And so that equates into the relationship we have. They understand the different geographic areas that we have recruited well historically from, where we potentially want to grow. Part of this relationship has also been increasing some of the out-of-state efforts, as that's one of our SEM plan goals as well. And we've been able to achieve those goals as well. So they really help us with any of the more specific goals that we have. Again, not just, okay, this is how many first-year students we want to bring in, but all of the different specific goals.
Can I just add one thing to that, too?
Yeah, yes.
I just want to be really clear that when we say one of our goals is to be a Hispanic-serving institution, it does not mean we don't want to serve other populations. And it also means we want to be a Hispanic-serving institution, not a Hispanic-enrolling institution. So just as with adult learners, we need to understand if the product we offer, if the services we have, will meet the needs of the students who are joining us. We need to do that as well with our Latinx populations, as we do with all of the students.
President Freeman, thank you for that comment as well. Mr. Herrera?
Yeah, just to add one more thing to that, I think that, you know, Chair Wasowitz asked the question earlier about, you know, how many other institutions are using this tool. And I don't have an exact answer either, but like I know that a lot are. But many. It's become kind of that system that everyone wants to use because there are some really, there are leading higher ed institutions that have closed equity gaps that have used EAB, right? But there are many institutions that aren't seeing outcomes with EAB, right? And I think going back to the point that I kind of heard you go into as well, is that I think we need to understand that EAB is a tool,
yeah,
right? And it is this team that is building the strategies to make sure we're serving them well, to make sure, you know, we're doing this right. And the other just quick thing that I'll mention is, or even ask, right now we've received a ton of applications, and you know, as mentioned earlier, the yield has been lower, right? But there are also a whole group of students that didn't enroll anywhere and are still not enrolling anywhere. So those are still, those ultimately become adult learners, right? Prospective adult learners. How is EAB sort of, how do we integrate National Student Clearinghouse data with the system so that we can always know, like, who was interested at some point but never enrolled anywhere, right? So that we can continue to knock on their doors, so that when they're ready, they can join the community.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up. We haven't, NIU just received our 2021 National Student Clearinghouse data just a couple weeks ago, but we do, that's also part of the partnership with EAB. We send that information to EAB so they can help us analyze it and to be able to re-recruit them. Because these are students who have not gone anywhere, and they've been admitted to NIU, we know that there was interest here. So we want to continue to work with them. We do continue to work with them. That is part of the, what I'm trying to say is we haven't gotten that far yet this year with EAB. But it's coming shortly. They do that work with us.
I'd be really curious to see over time how much of that market we can still have enrolled, right? For their best interest, obviously. But be great to have, be able to welcome.
Absolutely, but I also think, you know, I think more realistically with that population, you know, our focus as a, you know, four-year public institution with our mission and values, I think, you know, part of this also gets to what kind of additional relationships and partnerships can we have even with the community college sector, because, you know, many of these students may not be ready to come to NIU right now, but, you know, if we can start to get them in higher education and start working on a pathway to NIU down the road, that's getting us somewhere. So I think what's important is not only are we focused on, okay, how do we get more of these high school students or high school graduates, even if they're a year or two out, who have not gone to college, how do we get more of them directly to NIU? But I think the other thing is, how do we just get them into any kind of higher ed with the ability to partner with additional institutions?
How do you do that?
I don't know. We're
like, do you have like joint open houses with other, you know, with Radford Community College or, you know, other?
I think it's colleges? You know, I think the idea of students who are admitted that don't go anywhere. I mean, we brought it up to the legislature a few years ago, and at that point, it seemed like at least the legislature that was the first time they were becoming aware that this was an issue. But we also recognize at that time that there are now other institutions who are starting to look at this. So I think part of it is just awareness. You know, how do we work with our partner institutions, both four-year and two-year, to make this more of a priority and be able to then start having those really impactful partnerships developed so that we can identify, again, this isn't something I think NIU can or should do on its own, but you know, we have great partners across the state, both of the two-year and the four-year, that I think we can make this a priority and, you know, just really help these students to get into higher education.
Vice Chair Butler.
Thank you. A good deal of the work of this committee has focused on, in fact, just the last item focused on curricular innovation and the way in which we name programs. As my experience has sort of taught me, a lot of the reasons why students go where they go, and some of the reasons why you might be able to motivate them to go someplace versus another place, has a lot to do with what they can study. So I guess I'm wondering, where does the research that this group does for us and various interactions we have with them that impact that research, how does that cross over into the offerings, programs and the curriculum and so forth? And how can we build stronger relationships between this group and the data that they're able to derive and those who are thinking about curricular program offerings and how that's all working out? So we're talking about sort of bringing those forces in partnership.
Yeah, it's a valid point. It's not something right now that we are working together on. Now, that doesn't mean that they wouldn't, I mean, again, they have this large data set nationally that they have access to. It's certainly something that I'm sure they'd be willing to partner on with us.
Surely they ask students they're surveying, or in terms of creating that score, they ask them, what are you interested in?
Yes.
Do you want to become?
Yes.
And presumably there's some sort of matching thinking about whether NIU could help them meet their goals.
Well, those students would already be at the admitted stage.
Right.
So they've already demonstrated interest in NIU. Presumably they have already looked into the different academic programs that we have here, which is why they've applied and gotten to this stage. I think if, again, it's a great point you're making. I think for us to really have the impact that you're talking about, it's even at the looking at the students who are not applying. because those are the ones presumably would, maybe would have applied if we had a different program to offer. But again, they, the benefit of the over 2,000 institutions that they have is they would know what types of academic programs have high interest at other institutions, even potentially our peers or around the Midwest. And that's something that we could certainly look into, and I think they would be able to help us with that. That's a great point.
Any other questions from our trustees? Well, Beth, great job. Great job. You see, this is the spirited conversation, a lot of questions. This truly is where the rubber meets the road. We need students in order to have an institution. But great job.
Thank you.
At this time, are there any other matters to come before the committee? Hearing none, our next meeting date for the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee will be on February the 10th, 2022. Before I let us go, too, I want to say a special thanks to Ingram for helping to prepare me for today. Thank you very much. With that said, can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved, Barsema.
Is there a second? Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Aye. Any abstentions? Motion carries.